shall we go? Where shall we go?
Truman, where are we going?
I don't really know. I guess I'm being spontaneous. Somebody help me! I'm being spontaneous!
Truman!
Mardi Gras! Woo!
Lights, camera, action. Welcome back to another episode of Happy Hour Films. As you all know, I'm Ross Bacon. I'm joined by my co-host, Mike McGuigan. Mike, say hi.
How's everyone doing?
And as you should know by now, we are two dudes to drink and we talk about movies. Now, we're back on the normally scheduled movies that are basically the same train. And this time, Mike, we are turning the cameras on ourselves. We're going to film this for 3 months straight. Maybe 30 years, we're not sure, but either way, whatever gets the viewers watching, we're gonna do it.
Which one of us was secretly raised by us?
That's the thing. We gotta figure that out. Neither of us know. We don't know which one it could be.
Gets screwed over by Ellen. One of us was secretly raised by Ed Harris.
Now, the question is, maybe that'll be one of the categories. Which one is better? To be screwed over by Ellen or raised by Ed Harris unknowingly. But so if you get the jokes that we're talking about, you wouldn't know that we are talking about The Truman Show and EdTV, the I'm sure forgotten Matthew McConaughey movie. I think we're the first ones to talk about it since 1999.
that movie bombed. I think it was like on an $80 million budget, recouped like 30.
Yeah, it didn't do well with good reason. But before we get into that, we gotta talk about what we're drinking. So, Mike, what do you got?
All right, so I'm doing a bit of a kitchen clean out. And I got two beers from Forgotten Boardwalk that I'm gonna see if they should mix. You know, I want to support Forgotten Boardwalk right now, and I don't know what their lease situation's going on. You know, screw their landlord because they're one of the best breweries in South Jersey, and it slightly fits the water themes of the Truman Show.
Okay.
So I got their Forgotten Boardwalk Scotch Ale with 7.3%.
Okay.
Very good on its own, darker beer. Then I got their Ginger Snap Cookie.
Okay.
Again, very good on its own. Does taste like a ginger snap cookie if you ever had one in beer form. And we are going to pour them into the cauldron.
Okay. Yeah. Get them all together. And yeah. Mike disappeared. Oh, there he is.
The foam was coming up. I had to sip it.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. What you got?
No, maybe you should review yours for a second while the foam goes down in mine.
Well, I can tell you. Well, I'll give you an update on Forgotten Boardwalk. Their last Instagram post was on January 12th, and that's the farewell post. And it did say that their tasting room was going to be closed on February 29th, but they haven't updated it since. So my guess is they're still trying to figure things out. Hopefully they will, because they're great. Now, speaking of not great beer, but also doing a fridge clean out, my mother-in-law dropped off, I guess she was cleaning out her fridge as well, and dropped off 4 Corona Lights at the old homestead here.
About being a beer guy, some people just are like, oh, you'll probably like this, and bring over the worst beer ever and just leave it in your fridge.
No, in this case, I think she was either returning the favor that I didn't do, because I think I might have left a Miller Lite or two at her house last time we were there, but I don't know who brought the Coronas, and I don't think she did either, so she just gave them to me. I don't think this was a spite move or even a, hey, you're a beer guy move. This was just a, I don't drink these, you drink beer, here you go. But I have not had a Corona. The last time I had Corona here was for our Point Break Fast and the Furious episode, where I got the big cans of Corona.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if it's something about the bottled version of it, but I opened this bottle of Corona and it immediately smelled like stale, terrible weed. It doesn't, and that's just the smell of Corona though, but like, it's not a good beer by itself. Like, you definitely need the lime Or you at least need it in a can, because I don't know what happens to it in the bottle, but it tastes like trash. And I'm merely drinking these because Ed of NTV, Matthew McConaughey's character, always has a beer like strapped around his like neck, which is a great way to carry a beer around, if I must say. But this feels like a beer that if Ed could afford it, he would absolutely keep in a little cozy around his neck at all times. So that's why I chose this one. And I didn't want to let these sit in my fridge any longer. So I'm drinking a few of them. I'm drinking a few of them tonight just to get them out of here. But yeah, so that's why I'm drinking one of the worst beers ever come out of Mexico.
It's Corona. You either are like a frat boy dedicated to it or you hate it.
It doesn't taste good. Like, that's what it comes down to. It just doesn't taste good. And I'm looking at the label here. These are 99 calories. Are you serious? We could have put a couple calories more into it just to make it taste good. I mean,
I get like Premier protein shakes, and they have 1 gram of sugar, and my brother tries it, and he goes, I can taste the gram of sugar. It's lonely.
Yes, exactly. And I'm looking at the alcohol content. These are only 4%. So, like, I don't know. Add some flavor and a percent and get the calories and the alcohol up, and maybe this will be a better beer that I don't always have to go, wow, I wish I was drinking Modelo, you know?
Now, on the contrary, my abomination from two different Forgotten Boardwalk beers is actually not an abomination. It's pretty good.
Nice. Nice. Well, if they ever come back.
In fact, I think it's a rare instance that I like the mixture better than either of the individual beers.
Nice.
And I like the individual beers to an extent. They're good, not great to me.
In this case, the sum is better than its parts or whatever.
So if they ever get a new lease, I'm going to bring this recommendation to them.
That's right. Yeah, it'll put them back on the map, you know. But, all right. So that said, we have to get into it. Mike, how are we breaking down life on reality TV?
All right. So this was very much the phase of Matthew McConaughey's career where he was being typecasted as Matthew McConaughey, just being pretty. He's just got to be there. He's got to be charming. He's got to be pretty. Got to be himself.
And he just has to not be Woody Harrelson. He just has to not be Woody Harrelson.
The era of Jim Carrey's career, at least started it, where he wanted to get away, at least in some movies, from the normal goofiness that he usually played. Like, this was one of his first more serious roles. So, rather than just doing the regular battle of the protagonists, we're doing typecast versus type breaking.
Okay.
Now, next, we'll say which television show we would rather watch. So, like, we exist in the movies. These are TV shows. Which one would we be watching?
Okay, gotcha.
Along the same lines, which television show would get better ratings? So, okay. General public, what do we think the public's going for?
Okay.
We're going to do Ed Harris versus Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, that's an easy one. I mean, we can also toss in, have it be, if we want to make it a little more of a fair fight, I guess let's go Ed Harris / Paul Giamatti versus Ellen / Rob Reiner.
yeah, I think that's a good choice.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do the dual love interests. So we're going to do Jim Carrey's wife and what's her name? Girl who like tried to warn him in high school and was like fighting for his freedom versus
Laura / Sylvia, I think her name is,
versus Jenna Elfman and
Elizabeth
Powers.
Hurley.
Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah, so yeah, in yes.
Elizabeth Hurley
in the Truman Show, in that case, then we would be doing you know, all right. So the IMDb app is garbage, as probably everyone knows. But when you scroll past somebody on IMDb, occasionally they'll put their picture up, or they'll put someone else's picture up. Like, it'll glitch out and you'll get a different actor's picture. So I had the actual, like, actress's picture real quick, and now she's missing. But she's been in other stuff. So it's Laura Linney versus other. Like, where is this woman? Like, what's going on here? She's a fairly large role, IMDb. What are we doing? Oh, there we go. Natasha McElhone. She's British, so that could be pronounced in any number of ways. But she plays Lauren / Sylvia. So her character name is Lauren. Her real name, the actress's name, is Sylvia. So we're doing Meryl versus and Lauren versus Shari and Victoria, I think it is. So Jenna Elfman and Liz Taylor versus Laura Linney, and let's just call her Natasha.
So we're going to say we're going to put Woody Harrelson, who is trying to take this TV fame and open a gym. And we're going to compare him to, do we think there's a cast member of the Truman Show that can do something similar? Take their fame from the Truman Show and open up a business?
Yes, I think there is. And I do believe it is the best friend played again by... The dude's an actual actor. Noah Emmerich is the character, is the actor's name. Marlon is the character. Yeah, that dude, and we'll get into that. Like, we'll also come up with, let's do that one, but also who's a bigger asshole is the character there, because Woody Harrelson as Ed's brother is constantly trying to pitch himself and his businesses, and even in an amazing scene of Ed, what are you doing? He catches Woody Harrelson cheating on Jenna Elfman. And at no point does he immediately side with Jenna Elfman. There are a couple times where Ed's like, come on. You know, he is who he is. You know, it's like, no, dude. The world knows that he cheated on her. And you can't defend your brother in this case. Whereas in Truman Show, Noah Emmerich's character of Marlon is a lifelong best friend to Truman, lies to his face about him being a genuine true friend who loves him to the end, and then has no like shame in just being the asshole that he is. He has no regrets about doing what he does, and I would, pardon me, the ones to argue that that's somehow worse, you know.
Yeah. And the last one is the long lost father. Which one does the long lost father return better?
Okay, let's start with that one because it's an easy point for NTZ.
Yes.
That is Dennis Hopper versus Brian Delatte.
Oh, I'm not talking specifically about the actor. I'm talking about the way that the father is reintroduced.
Yeah, it's still Hoffman. It's still Dennis Hopper, man.
It is still Dennis Hopper, but it's not because it's Dennis Hopper necessarily.
I sell it. He sells it better than this nothing actor. But it is funny because, and even with Ed's dad of Dennis Hopper, now this is his birth father. His stepfather is played perfectly by oh my god, I'm blanking on his name. Come on, Ross, think about it. You know what it is. Oh my god, I hate my life. Martin Landau, that's what it is. It's Martin Landau, it's his stepfather, and the dude, every line out of the dude's mouth is just killer. He's so great in the movie.
But he's the only likable person in Ed's life.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Aside from Ed himself, who does make some shitty choices, but he makes them for reasons of being
like outside of Ed.
Yeah.
Outside of the person in his life.
He's the only one. Yeah. And that, but the thing is that
I feel like we also have to do whose mother is worse.
Okay, that's a quick. We'll do that one next because that's another quick one. But it, for me, it goes the other way. But Dennis Hopper doesn't pull the standard. And for some reason, it only made me think of the Waterboy with Roboito when he comes back into Bobby's life and he just wants to make money off of it and shit like that. That's not what Dennis Hopper's doing. All he's really doing is asking vaguely. Asking for a job. Like, that's all he's really doing. And all it really does is he kind of shoots himself in the foot because in trying to connect with Ed, he inadvertently remembers everything he did with Woody Harrelson's character. And he just misattributes spending time with the wrong kid, you know? So it's like, oh, he really was a bad father, but he's not back in his life because he's a bad father. He's like almost genuinely trying to reconnect, but just doing it poorly.
Wait, but did... So, is Ellen the reason he comes back? They leave it somewhat ambiguous. Did Ellen bring him back for ratings?
That's a good question, because she definitely orchestrates the Liz Hurley one. Because it's her dog that she's walking. Yeah. You know, so she gives her little dog and all that. But I don't know. It's, I think it was probably a matter of, oh, this dude is around because the mom has been lying her ass off there Ed's entire life. So he probably wasn't hard to find, but they were definitely probably hunting for ways to make the show more interesting.
And then he also got death by Snoo Snood.
Dude, that, what a ridiculous turn. And they play it as a reveal too, that you think it's Martin Landau, like you think Martin Landau is dead, and then it turns out that Ed's mom was cheating on Martin Landau again with Dennis Hopper again, and the whole reason he left in the first place is because she was cheating on Dennis Hopper with Martin Landau. And it's just the mother. In a few minutes we'll get to why she's awful as well, but it is pretty funny that they choose to... I don't know what happened, that they had to kill Dennis Hopper's character that way. Like, I don't know if they only had him for the 20 minutes that he obviously needed
the death by Snoo Snoo.
Right, exactly. Like, and it was probably Dennis Hopper, too. Hopper was like, look, I got like an hour of my schedule free. We can have me for 20 minutes, I'm guessing, because I got to travel between sets or something. So if I got to die, here's how I want to die. Screwing. I want to go fucking. I want to fuck my ex-wife. I want to die during sex. Like, that's what I want to do. But I guess it's got to be off camera, so I'll catch you later.
Now, I'm going to give some points to the Truman Show here because of the situations that come about because of the father's return, which is we essentially find out that they have a marathon just on reserve in case he needs to be detained.
Yeah. Yeah,
The call with like the executives, and they're like, "Well, how are you gonna explain his 22-year absence?" And Ed Harris just goes, "Amnesia."
Amnesia. Yeah, just that old TV soap opera trope, you know, and because that's what Ed Harris is really running with the Truman Show. He's running a soap opera where only one of the main character is not an actor, you know, and. It's funny because they do bring this character back because the dude somehow wandered onto set. Like, hey, they do talk about that. They say that in the past, there's been several other people that have somehow found their way into the Truman Show, which to me is impossible because of the design of the way that that place is isolated. You're under the dome. You got to figure that this is such a tightly run TV show and a social experiment. Your security outside the wall would be, there wouldn't be gaps in the chain. Like you would have an army of security guards constantly monitoring the outside of that dome. And the only way you'd get in would be to somehow like tunnel under the earth, you know? But so for that one dude who gets in like a Christmas present, it's like, how the fuck did that happen? But for the father to just kind of be able to walk back on the screen, whereas Lauren, aka Sylvia, is banished to the real world after trying to do what she's doing, it doesn't make any sense. But then again, you know, movie, something's got to happen, and we got to have some sort of tension. And the only thing that The only reason why I don't give really much of a second thought to the father in Truman Show is because he's not really a character.
No.
He's a plot device. He's the reason why Truman has to be afraid of water. So they kill him and make him drown so Truman doesn't want to leave the island. And it's like, okay, that's a purposeful death.
All right, so 1 point for EdTV. Now, the mother's, oh my God, the creepiest scene in the Truman Show is when she's talking about grandbabies, because what are the implications? Like, that child is going to grow up as the sequel of the Truman Show.
I didn't even get that far. Think about what Laura Linney has to go through.
Yeah.
G is playing Truman's wife, who, for all Truman knows, is his wife. She is an actress. She is pitching products. She's doing her actor thing, all that. And they even say it because what's his name? Dirk Blocker from, not Dirk Blocker, it's Scully from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's one of the security guards that are watching the show. And he's the one that gets the line that when they're about to have sex on the screen, he's like, you never see anything. You always cut away to something else. Well, yeah, the TV audience gets cut away too. Like, they don't get to see it. But she still has to have sex with Truman. And she's still doing it, presumably, for Ed Harris, Paul Giamatti, and maybe the other guy that's always with Paul Giamatti. Like, it's not a intimate, I'm just having sex with a guy in a closed room situation. Those cameras in that bedroom are still on. And she is absolutely being forced to have sex with someone she doesn't want to.
I forgot one of the battle categories, and which movie does product placement better in the in-world show?
I mean, it's easily Truman. I mean, it's got to be Truman.
I do love when he's like, do you want a Coke or a Pepsi? He's like, Pepsi. And then immediately it's like Pepsi.
Giant Pepsi machines in his house. Yeah, that's pretty funny. The way the 90s used Pepsi machines in movies was pretty great. Especially, I believe it's Van Damme and Rodman. I think it's in Double Team, where the Pepsi machine saves their life. You know,
now if Pepsi Man showed up, I'd have given it to EdTV.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. Yes, absolutely. But with the mothers, okay, so you got Holland Taylor, and she's Truman's mom. She is an actress. She is very much being like the I am his mother, he'll listen to me, that kind of thing. Like Norman Bates' mom, basically. But then EdTV, you get a real awful, awful woman in EdTV. She's not abusive.
No.
He just has never told Ed the truth ever in his entire life.
He's like a realistic, like, so that is the one thing with like that makes EdTV hard to compare to the Truman Show when you're looking like at character motivations and stuff. And one is like, okay, this could really be a reality TV show. And one is like an awesome concept. Might be able to happen in the future, but for a long time it was like, I don't think that's possible.
I mean, both of them are possible, and both of them have happened. You know, it's EdTV especially, you know, we still deal with the fucking Kardashians and whoever else, but the Truman Show is the one where it's like we actually did it with that Spike TV show, like Joe Blow or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was literally the one guy that didn't know he was on a TV show.
But it wasn't
show.
Like his whole life was.
No, it wasn't his whole life, but it was as close as we've gotten to the Truman Show in the sense that it's basically a prank show for one dude.
That but, or like, what's the movie, Boyhood, or where the entire movie, it just follows the kid growing up, essentially.
Yeah, and they filmed it over X amount of years and however they did that. Like, yeah, but for Sally Kirkland as Jeanette, Ed's mom, she's a real character. Like, she's a real woman who's just terrible. But Holland Taylor, on the other hand, knows she's an actress, knows that this is all fake, knows that she is not his mother, and knows that whatever however close Truman gets to figuring it out, he's the first one to be like, oh no, I can bring him back. It's like, whoa. It's like, Jesus Christ, lady, the dude's becoming, like, this is a prison situation. This dude is an unknowing prisoner in this show. You are all trying to keep him there. This is awful.
And then, I'm wondering what the actors union for the Truman Show is. Like, how much were those people getting paid?
Well, think about it. You can get paid billions of dollars. It's not going to matter. You have to live your life in the Truman Show. And
get to leave when Truman goes to sleep? Like,
they show the crew going to sleep. They show other people like going to sleep. But yeah, you would have to, because you'd have to live your life like you're in this world. But the thing is
about his lifelong best friend, he was probably, his parents had to have put him in there as a child actor.
Had to have. But think about it though. The lives of these actors are just doing these rote, repetitious lives over and over again. It's the same thing. It's like Groundhog Day every day for these people. Only they know it. And they have to keep doing it. It is prison. It can't be that good of an acting job. Because
they have to have been relieved when he left. Because you got to imagine that they're getting paid major bank. And they're like, all right, I'm retiring.
The fact that only Lauren and the father have ever been against or tried to actually like break the fourth wall for Truman, it's completely insane, because it's a 30-year television show. Now you got to figure, these people probably weren't actually pretending to be actors for the first, I don't know, 7 years of his life, let's say. Because he's not really going to be forming memories. He's not going to be remembering a lot of shit. Like, maybe at five. Maybe five is when they have to start actually kind of pretending to be a character. They don't really have to do anything, because he's not going to remember the rando that can't drive the bus, or the two guys that are security guards in the one building he never goes in, you know? It's all, or like, there's nobody performing a job at that insurance company that he works for, because he's not there yet. Like, he's not working yet. The actors are different for different parts of his life. But when he hits like 22, maybe 21, and graduates college and begins this life that they have set up for him, that is a solid 9, 8, let's just call it 10 years, where these people are doing the same thing day in, day out, every day, all year. And there is no break. The only break maybe would be on major holidays like Christmas or Thanksgiving, when if you're not immediately related to Truman, you get to just chill out and not be your character for a night.
His wife never gets a break.
Laura Linney doesn't get a break. Mom doesn't get a break, but then again, she's so invested that I don't think she cares. The dad finds a way out because they kill him off, basically. I don't know why he even bothered coming back. Because he was playing that role for a while at that point. Like, I can't understand. Like, those neighbors across the street that he does the good morning, good evening, and good night thing to.
Yeah.
Those people got to be like, look, if we can get our hands on a gun, I'm just going to shoot him. I can't do this sitcom opening every fucking morning. I can't do it. I will lose my mind if I have to keep doing this to this psychopath. At the same time, in EdTV, Sally Kirkland, she's just been a regular mom up until the TV cameras show up. And then basically it becomes a ticking clock until the secrets come out. And even then, she does kind of break down, like, I didn't want it. But the only reason she really does break down, it's not because of the emotional weight of the situation. It's because she has to start telling him the truth. And it's like, oh, your lies have come back to you. This sucks. And now everyone in the world can see you being the worst. And it's like, oh, okay. At least in the Truman Show, everyone watching knows that Holland Taylor's an actress. You know, it's this weird disconnect, you know, from the material.
Yeah, it's like, so it's weird because you almost have to judge them differently, because Sally Kirkland, it's like, she's a terrible mother and a bad person, where what's her name in the Truman Show?
Holland Taylor, yeah.
Holland Taylor, like, she's not actually his... Oh, yeah, Holland Taylor. She's not actually his mother, but she is an awful, like, a way worse person than Sally Kirkland.
She's, if anything, a method actress that's gone too far, that has been allowed to get way too far.
It makes sense, her role on Two and a Half Men.
Oh, yeah. Well, Holland Taylor's always been a great actress like that. Yeah. Like, she's always played that character very well. And
which, it's hilarious, because then you go to Spy Kids, and she's completely, like, a very loving grandmother.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much her two roles. It's Uber Bitch and Great Grandma. You know, like, awesome grandma. But it's... in this case, I would have to give... I don't know. I kind of have to give the point to the Truman Show, because that's a person consistently being the worst you can version of themselves, you know?
With the grandbaby thing too, like what she's knowingly putting another actor through for the sake of the show, and what she's knowingly going to put that baby through, because if that baby's born, it is going to grow up exactly like Truman did.
Yeah, and it's... It that the sequel aspect of it is kind of crazy, because how far do they go? Like, how long does this go?
And like, then when does it stop? Like, if they do have the kid, at what point do the TV execs go, it's time to kill Truman off?
Right. Or at what point does Truman realize, how come no one else is having babies?
Yeah.
Like, why am I the only one with a baby? Like, I don't see any other babies around. Or do they start adopting
other babies into the show?
Right. That's the thing. Like, then it just becomes like the Truman Baby Show, you know? It's how long can it go before we just have a regular society under cameras, you know? For no actors. Like, they have filtered out all the actors, and everybody has grown up to be under the lights without even knowing it.
All right. So far, 1 point to EdTV, 2 points to the Truman Show.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's go stay in the close circle of our main characters. So worst best friends, basically. So let's go versus Marlon versus Woody. And Marlon versus Ray. I mean, this is kind of an easy one. Because while Woody Harrelson
is a dick,
and he's a fame whore. Like, he's really just trying to make it too, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas Marlon in the Truman Show is actively
destroying Truman's life.
He's adding to Truman's psychosis, you know.
Like,
Truman might get out at the end of this movie, but he is absolutely not okay at the end of this movie, because then he's got to realize that nothing in his life was real.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's got to suck, man. Like, that, there's a trauma there. That I'm not sure Sylvia, because that's how she would be on the outside. She's not Lauren anymore. She's Sylvia. She's presumably running to go find him somewhere. I don't know if she lives right outside the dome or whatever, but it's going to be a long trip to get to him. Basically has to be his therapist and fill him in on everything. She has to coach him through everything. She has to help him get a job in the real world. Hopefully, what they were doing with that fake insurance company translates to a real skill for Truman, so he can actually do that job in real life.
Does he just end up getting rich from a lawsuit?
Well, see, there is also the case to be made. Now, Truman probably never has to work a day in his life, because he's going to be a celebrity when he comes out. He's going to be EdTV when he leaves that dome, because everyone in the world, they say 1.7 billion people, like, routinely tune in to see him. So now that the show's over, everybody's not going to be like, Truman.
He's going to be making millions at Comic-Con just doing pictures, signing photos.
Right. It's like, he doesn't, it's not like all the audience, it's not like the regular population of the world watching this show.
He's just going to write a biography, and it'd be the New York Times bestseller. Like, right. A publication company would give him $1 million up front for that.
The only problem is that his autobiography would be the show, because he knows no different. He wouldn't be able to tell.
So he would have to go through a couple years of therapy where he works out the trauma from the show and does like a deep dive.
Right, but there's no behind the scenes for him. He doesn't know anything that happened behind the scenes. He'd be making shit up, you know? The real person that would be getting the story would be like Laura Linney or Holland Taylor or something like that. Laura Linney's the one that would make the money because she's the one that would have the story, because she's the one that is forced into this relationship that she agreed to, but how far did she agree to go? That kind of thing.
Now, Woody Harrelson does have arguably my favorite scene between the two movies, where he goes and brings his ex on TV because he's so upset she said he was a bad lay. So he was like, all right. And then he brings his ex on TV and she's like, he's not the worst I've ever had.
I definitely had worse. And I love it. He's like, vindicated. But think about it, though. But, like, the only thing that doesn't give the point in my mind to Woody Harrelson is the fact that he's just he's a guy. He's a regular person who absolutely exists in the world.
And he seems to actually at least somewhat care for Ed.
He's very self-centered, but there is a brotherly relationship that they do have. And it's kind of interesting that the conflict in the movie doesn't happen because Woody Harrelson's trying to take over the spotlight. Mm-hmm. He only pitches his products when the cameras come near him, you know? Mm-hmm. And when he's at a party or Ed's there as well, he's definitely trying to pitch himself. But when the cameras just follow Ed around and Woody's just at his house, he's just working out or doing whatever he's doing. You know, he's doing his own thing. But he's also being himself when he's on the camera. He's not really, he's pitching a product, but that's just who he is. You know, that's just who that character is. Whereas the dude in Truman's Best Friend is the gaslighter of all gaslighters. He is the worst possible friend you could ever have in your life because they know the truth about you, yet are lying to your face with a smile and constantly with a six pack. This dude is always trying to get Truman drunk and just tell him that he's not in a TV show. It's like, dude, after a while, Truman immediately picks up on the fact that Laura Linney starts pitching a commercial in the middle of an argument. And he's like, and it's a great Jim Carrey reaction because he's like, what's this for? What are you talking about? And he's like, what? Talks like this. But when it comes to the best friend, Truman, for some reason, does have these blinders that he doesn't notice that whenever something weird is going on or he's got a little bit of a head of steam going that he's figuring stuff out, that his best friend shows up with a six pack to talk him off the ledge. Yeah. You know, he doesn't put those two together, which he should, because he immediately notices that his wife hates him and B, can't stop pitching products to an imaginary audience. Or at least as far as he knows, an imaginary audience. And even when he puts the knife to her neck and she screams, somebody do something, and then somebody does something, even then Truman's kind of like letting his best friend starts to talk to him. He's like, you know what, man? I guess it's just a crazy day. I mean, I guess you're right. Everything you're saying has to be true. There's no way you could be in on this as well if literally every other person is. The amount of trust he has with that best friend is completely insane, because the dude has a control on his emotions and reality. And Truman just is able to have it all turn. All the skepticism goes away when he talks to his buddy. And it's Ed, on the other hand, just kind of has to, he's just himself, but he never, it's funny because he never apologizes for Woody's behavior. Never apologizes for his brother, to Sherry, for his brother being a dick and cheating on her. He never does that, which is brotherly bond, I guess. But still, you're on TV. He knows he's on TV. But But his first instinct isn't to be the main character. It's to still be himself.
Yeah.
So, like, it's funny because the actions of Woody Harrelson really don't affect Matthew McConaughey. But everything that best friend does controls Truman's life. And he knows it, and he doesn't have a single hesitation to do it. And that's why he is the worst person in the Truman Show.
Correct. All right. So what, we have three more left, love interests, showrunner, and main character. So I think it's time we should
We also have to figure out which one we would rather be in. Oh, yeah. But we can
and which one we would rather watch.
Let's do that one. Let's do that one absolutely last. But right now, let's check on our beers. How's your beer?
Doing good. This mixture is great from Forgotten Boardwalk. I'd like to think they had a plan synergy with these beers.
They knew what you were going to do. They knew there was going to be some mad scientists out there who was going to do some shit. They knew. But, yeah. Against my better judgment, I've cracked open a second Corona. Man. The shit smells like a skunk. It doesn't smell good. And it tastes like it smells. But it's not bad. Like, it hasn't gone bad. Like, this is just how Corona tastes. And that's not right.
It's just a bad beer.
But brutal, yeah, Cerveceria Modelo Mexico, you know? It's bad time, Bob. But I guess whatever the runoff from Modelo is becomes Corona. You know, I guess that's what it is. Like, ugh. Yeah, it's gross. I'm going to keep drinking.
I like to think Landshark opened up and they just sell Corona, the batches that aren't up to standard for Landshark.
Yeah, someone just takes a Landshark that's been, like, out for a little bit and just pours it into a Corona bottle and just sells that. Oh, God. Like, why? Like, I get that Vin Diesel probably doesn't know a good beer if it broke the bottle broke over his face, but this is definitely the beer that fucking Vin Diesel would absolutely only drink in his stupid Fast and the Furious movies. You know, it's like it would have to be Corona, It's the beer that a moron thinks is good, you know. So and that's what Fast and the Furious is. It's Mission Impossible if you're a moron. You know, whatever. I mean, and I'm sorry, people, if you like Corona, that's your choice, but it ain't mine.
If you like Corona,
it ain't mine.
Get some better taste. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like if Corona's your beer and you listen to this show, good for you, but it ain't my beer.
You just know you rank below Spectrophiles in our favorite fan.
Yeah, we are still waiting to hear from the Ghostwalkers here, by the way. You know, goddamn. But one day, fingers crossed. So, all right. So, what's next? Which one are we doing next?
Let's go Love Interest. Yeah. Which, this is the easiest point in the world for me. Because Laura Linney fucking kills it.
Yeah. Yeah, she is as committed as you get. She is as committed as you get. She at least is given the chance to show a little conflict too, like to be
her role. Truman's like freaking out and Laura Linney has to act like she is fucking terrified of what's happening. She doesn't know what to do. So I'm not even talking about the character. I'm talking about the actress. She does awesome.
She does. Her only slip up is that somebody do something like is, and but she, even then you could play it off as I'm calling out to God because my husband's gone insane. You know, like even that you could play off. But I mean, look, I'm gonna be honest here. To our female listeners, I'm going to judge these four women on looks because it kind of has to be done because of the X factor that is Liz Hurley. Elizabeth Hurley, to this day, is still one of the most beautiful women on the planet. And she will not crack. I am pretty sure that we are never going to see a bad version of that woman. She is gorgeous. The woman that is her competition in MTV is Jenna Elfman, who, again, I'm sure is a nice woman. She can be very funny, but she ain't no Liz Hurley. And then we have Laura Linney, a very attractive, beautiful woman, going against to their credit, she is going against an equally good-looking woman, just in like a more exotic kind of way, because Natasha has a very different good-looking aspect to her. She's got like the big eyes. She's very like mysterious almost. But those two combined, it's like, okay, I can see Truman being like, oh man, which one do I go for? Like, I am truly conflicted. Whereas Matthew McConaughey is Matthew McConaughey. He is no, we are not pretending that he is not Matthew McConaughey in this movie.
Yeah.
And for Ed to not immediately see that, yeah, Sherry's great, but she left. Suddenly, Liz Hurley is here. My God, man.
All right, so like in movie, I also love that people just, it was like 71% of audiences just hated Sherry.
I mean, there is, and it sucks because, yes, that is the kind of shit that would happen with this situation. If you put make these people famous, and Ed is your star, and he is the one we are supposed to be sympathetic to and all that stuff, people are almost immediately going to be superficial. And they're going to start calling out his love interests and everybody in his family and all this stuff. So everyone's going to get picked apart. But the way that like late 90s, early 2000s, like gossip celebrity stuff was, they were all about your looks. They were all about your personality. There was absolutely nothing that wasn't treated the way it is in EdTV. So like the reality of that is that unfortunately someone like Shari would be completely eviscerated by the viewing public. She would not hold a candle to anyone that was better looking than her. And that's all it would come down to. It's just a person that is better looking. They could be a worse person, but if they were better looking, they would want Ed to be with her. And it doesn't...
Didn't they spoof this episode in Family Guy, essentially?
It's Peter TV, you know? That's what it is. But it's... And at a certain point, they start following Meg around. You know, there's
well, the reality show. That... Meg wants to quit, and they're like, right. "Well, Meg has been the least popular, so they recast Meg as a hot blonde."
Right, which is all they don't. This is what they don't do in MTV. They start following the family to figure out which one's the most interesting, and that's who they'll follow. But they don't recast anybody, which you would think if this movie MTV is too long. It is far too long, and the thing drags hours. Like hell. It drags like hell. Truman is in and out in an hour and 45. And it's weird because Ron Howard is the director of EdTV. Ron Howard is the director. The man knows how to direct the movie. He should know that pacing is important and his movie loses it at one point. But there is so much about the orchestrated aspects of EdTV because in that case, it is a network manipulating events. And they are going by ratings, they're going by public opinion, that kind of thing. But whereas on the other side with Truman, these women are actresses, and only one of them has a conscience. And it is the one that they summarily dismiss from the show and throw out because, as the fake father says, she's insane. So they make Truman think that he has fallen in love with a mental patient in order to keep this ruse going. And Laura Linney, she is beautiful, yes, but she's, again, a method actress that has gone too far. You know, a method actress that's gone too far. And in the end, as regular good-looking as Jenna Elfman is, she is not the scorching white-hot ball of lightning that is Liz Hurley. And Liz Hurley cannot be beat in my mind.
See, we're going to end up splitting this point because I think Laura Linney so far and away out-acts anyone else in this category that I got to give it to her.
Yeah, and I can't argue with that. Like, I can't argue that because Liz Hurley is playing Liz Hurley, and Jenna Elfman is, unfortunately, Jenna Elfman. She's a TV star. She was Arma, for Christ's sake. Like, that's even more suited to TV shows. And then there's Natasha. I don't even want to know. I can't pronounce her last name properly because she's not famous enough to have me ever have actually heard it, you know, but she's been in stuff, but still she's a fine actress for what she needs to do, but doesn't need to do a lot. And like you said,
Laura Linney, if you look at like the actual characters, she's the best person of the four.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she is the best person. Shari's close because she doesn't want anything to do with the bullshit. Like, she wants to be away from the cameras, which is fine. I mean, that's understandable because wherever this dude shows up, you're suddenly on a TV show. And you that changes the way you act, unless you're a psychopath, you know, like the Kardashians or someone else, you know. But it, yeah, I mean, as far as, and then, I don't know, I'm still going with Liz Hurley because Ed does crush her cat, falling off her table, trying to almost have sex with her. So it is a sex-related injury for him and the cat. So that tips in my mind because that's funnier as opposed to the ever-present thought I was having with Laura Linney trying to have babies with Jim Carrey. Like, he doesn't know this is fake.
Yeah.
She does. Like, what is happening right now? This Ed Harris is fucking Harvey Weinstein. What's going on?
But, all right, so that's a split point. So what is
yeah,
it?
That's a split.
3-1 and a tie.
Well, I mean, we can just call that one a wash. That one doesn't even need to count because it would go both ways, you know? All right, so let's do executives.
Yeah, Ed Harris versus Ellen DeGeneres.
Ed and Paul versus Ellen and Rob. Now, if we're going by... So let's start. Ed Harris does seem to genuinely care about Griffin. Because he does treat him as if Ed Harris is God and he is creating and controlling Truman's life.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain extent, it's believable and you're like, okay, the fact that he does care is something.
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti, on the other hand, is kind of half and half because he is an executive doing his job. Or he's a producer doing his job. But at one point, he does kind of, like, feel for Truman.
Yeah.
Does feel for Truman. But he's still, like, a lackey that still wants to do his job and, like, doesn't want to go against what his boss says. Meanwhile, Ellen purposely picks McConaughey. He purposely puts all this shit him through all this stuff. She throws all these loops at him. Rob Reiner, on the other hand, is your typical or your stereotypical awful TV executive who only sees dollar signs and ratings and damn the actual human beings involved as long as the zeros on his paycheck keep coming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of almost got to give it to the Truman Show in this case because at least they made them real characters. Despite the fact that people like Rob Reiner do exist in entertainment, he's too much of a cartoon, I think.
Yeah, so Ed Harris acts circles around Paul Giamatti being the lackey.
It was 1998, so yeah, Giamatti's still the lackey, yeah.
But, yeah, they're far and away, to me, the better characters. And the level of psychopath that Ed Harris has to be to put this together. Like, he crossed the threshold of visionary into psychopath.
Long ago, too, and that's pretty much when it happened at first, because they do say that they put a camera in the womb. So that means whoever Truman's real mom was, Ed Harris was there with a camera going inside of her vagina. And it's like, oh, that's a new level.
Now
that is a new level.
Now what I want to know is, are the characters the age of the actors? Because Ed Harris is what, 12 years older than Jim Carrey?
They're not far apart. They are not far apart in age, I will say. It's in fact, yeah, let's do that. Let's figure that out. Okay, so Ed Harris, born in 1950. Jim Carrey, born in 1962. So that means that Ed Harris would have been 12 years old when he started the show.
Which raises a lot of questions. Why did this corporation decide Ed Harris should be given this position of power? Why is a 12-year-old in charge of the idea of what we're going to do with this child we're adopting? How smart is this 12-year-old?
Right, exactly. I mean, they do, they are given, and I'll give them credit, because, and it's mostly Jim Carrey, because Jim Carrey does play Truman with a very childlike innocence, and it is to their credit, because of that performance, you do believe that Truman is a lot younger than maybe his 30 years does imply, but Ed Harris can be older by just the nature of his character in this situation. You're like, okay, so yeah, he's playing up, but yeah, he might have been a 20-year-old producer when this happens, but yeah, the age difference doesn't get stretched too much farther.
But then the fact that they show Jim Carrey playing Truman in high school, and they're just like, let's just make him look like Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, let's just push his hair forward a little bit. Let's get him that. What it made me think of was, like, every time was in Ace Ventura when he's pretending to be, like, the little Dolphins fan with the acne and the little print, like, the little pennant. That's kind of hoping they were going to do with him. Like, make him, like, a child. Have him act like a 12-year-old. But, and that, well, that's the thing, like, that we haven't really mentioned, that even though Matthew McConaughey is Matthew McConaughey, and Truman, in this case, like, Jim Carrey is playing this is one of the first of his dramatic roles. And that's why people looked at this movie and were like, wait, where's the silly guy? Like, where's the silly guy? Like, why? The people that loved this movie when it came out were the people that were, like, going into it, like, okay, this is a movie and he's an actor. Whereas the rest of the American public was like, yeah, it's Jim Carrey. Why isn't he talking out of his ass? You know, why isn't he?
We
why
did get a chip in his tooth with his ass, very prominently featured, though.
Right, yeah, the gardening scene, that is very funny. But it kind of makes, I don't know, it makes what Ed Harris is doing worse, almost, because Truman is so innocent and wholesome that he's really only, he's living in this, like, 1950s, like, Leave It to Beaver world that he doesn't know any differently of. Whereas Ed, on the other hand, is being Ed in San Francisco in 1999, dealing with his dysfunctional family, and then also having to fight the big business that is reality television, and a mega producer who can buy and sell him if needed, or can just manipulate him like God, you know? Whereas Ed Harris is literal God to Truman, because he does control his life. Rob Reiner's character can completely decimate everything that is in Ed's life. He can ruin him. And he does, and he will, until Ed comes up with the gambit of, give me the juiciest dirt you got on any of these people in this corporation. And then it comes out with the penile implant for Rob Reiner's character, which ultimately gets the show, the plug pulled on the show. But Truman, he doesn't know any of that. And he can't know any of that. So it's almost like, okay, the worst person here is absolutely Rob Reiner and Ellen to an extent, because she doesn't really try to stop any of this until the very end, when she's been taken out of power. Like, Rob Reiner's basically like, yeah, you don't get a say in anything anymore. Fuck off. So it's not her choice.
Did you get any flashbacks to This Is Spinal Tap with Rob?
Yeah. Yeah, most of it, yeah. And it's like, oh, I wish that Rob Reiner was running this show. That'd be more interesting. But the only thing I couldn't get past with MTV, aside from the runtime, the one thing I couldn't get past with MTV is thinking that Ellen DeGeneres is not the person that should be playing this role. This is, if anything, ironically enough, an Anne Heche character. Anne Heche should have been playing that role, or anybody else that was of, like, the rom-com mind back then. Like, even though I hate seeing her in movies, and she was ever present at the time, this, if anything, could have been a Julia Roberts role. Like, Julia Roberts could have played this role, but then again, because she's a self-centered, egotistic prick, she would have had to be the love interest eventually for Ed anyway, because she couldn't not be the main character, because that's how big her asshole ego is.
I completely forgot about the scene with Woody Harrelson, where he goes on with Marr, and he's promoting his book. Bill Maher is just like, did your brother actually pee on you? He's like, it's in the book.
It's in the book. That was another thing. It's like, okay, at least EdTV gives us a slice of life that was in 1999. So for Politically Incorrect to make an appearance, I was like, oh wow, that kind of takes me back.
Yeah, it's like, you also holy get shit. Jay Leno making an appearance.
Jay Leno in the 90s, give him a couple bucks, he'll do your movie. He will absolutely do your movie. He'll do his stupid jokes for your little interstitials and all
I
that.
I just think about the Fresh Prince episode with Jay Leno.
Yeah, it's like Oprah was on that show, for Christ's sake, you know? Like, Oprah made an appearance on that show. Her entire show made an appearance on it. But yeah, for those things actually do help EdTV, because you know you get a sense of what this dude's life would be like, and yeah, everything that's shown in EdTV is really what would be happening if the actors in the Truman Show were actually allowed to be out in the world. You know, these people, that's the world that they would live in. And if Truman was in his own bubble, like under the dome, but these people got to leave when he went to sleep, or there was a schedule where he didn't interact with them or something like that, and they could go out.
And it's funny because Truman would have been less likely to catch on if that happened.
He never would have. I almost guarantee that unless the thing is, okay, A, who the hell is in control of like the set in this thing that lets a fucking spotlight fall out of the sky? Like, who was maintaining this thing? Do we have to kill the guy that was changing the light bulb? Like, what do we have to do? And then, of course, there's the fact that no one in this show can improvise. If the fact that Truman is such a robot and goes through every pace of his day exactly as planned, that's a flaw, because at some point he would have to go somewhere else, and that just shows what more of a prison it is for the actors, because they're not allowed to really act. They're just pretending to be certain roles doing certain tasks at certain times.
Yeah.
They can never actually act, because when the dude does have to pretend to drive a bus to Chicago with Truman sitting on it, they have to fake, what is it? They have to like fake like a blown tire or something. Like he can't just drive the bus to nowhere. You know?
Yeah.
The dude can't even physically drive the bus. It's like, that's a problem, Ed. You got to make sure your actors can actually do the roles you want them to play in case Truman does shit like this.
Yeah, they had zero factors in. Like, they had zero contingencies on if Truman's going to go rogue.
Yeah, whereas Ed had all the contingencies. Like, they were making up contingencies if they needed to, you know? Like, what happens if Ed wants to be out? Well, we blackmail him. Like, well, what happens if he comes up with this? Well, we do this, you know? And it's like, oh, okay, well. But yeah, but I mean, if we're going by who's worse to their subjects, it's absolutely Ellen and Rob Reiner. But if we're going by who's just better at their job, it's absolutely Ed Harris and Paul Giamatti.
It's Ed Harris and Paul Giamatti. It's not even that close.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta invent stipulations that would give Ellen and Rob the win.
Yeah. It's not close. All right, so I think
main character. It's gotta be on the main character.
Yeah.
So,
and it's Jim Carrey.
It is. It really is. And because Jim is acting, Jim is giving it. He makes Truman a character, and you feel for Truman at certain points. You're like, wow, this dude's really, no one in his life is real, and this is fucking crazy that they are keeping him here like this. Whereas Ed's kind of like, everything that's happening to you, dude, you brought on yourself. You signed the contract. You did the video interview. You should know what's happening.
And then come like the actual actors' performances, you can argue that, like, there's an argument to be made that Truman Show came in Jim Carrey's best stretch of performances, where Matthew McConaughey was arguably in the worst stretch of his career besides Amistad.
Matthew was not doing great at this point.
This was his Pretty Boy era. This was after Dazed and Confused. I forget when Amistad came out, because that was like his first like real.
Amistad was before. Amistad was 2 years before.
Okay, 97.
So,
right, so it's so after Amistad, it's like, for some reason, he didn't get more serious roles like that. It became his pretty boy rom-com era, which is far and away the, like, there's movies in it I enjoy, but, like, when you look about wasting McConaughey's talents, that is the worst stretch of his career.
All right, so here's McConaughey leading up to MTV. 93, Dazed and Confused. Arguably his best performance, and it's, like, his third first actual performance of his career. Amazing character to come out of the gate with. Then you got My Boyfriend's Back, which is guy number two. Uh-oh. Angels in the Outfield he is in. Then we got one of his better characters, but one of his probably personally most hated movies, which is Texas Chainsaw Massacre of the Next Generation.
Yeah.
Vilmer, he is so great as Vilmer, with leather. Then there's Boys on the Side, Glory Days, Scorpion Spring, whatever, Submission, Judgment, Submission, these two short films, Lone Star, A Time to Kill, which is when his, like, hot boy drama actor, like, reputation started. Larger Than Life, then Contact was another big one. Then Amistad in 97. Newton Boys in 98. Welcome to Hollywood in 98. He did apparently an episode of King of the Hill in somewhere in 1999.
Yes, he did. He played one of Luann's boyfriends.
And then he did EdTV in 99. After EdTV was U571, The Wedding Planner, Frailty, Reign of Fire, Tiptoes, great movie. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Sahara, Two for the Money, Failure to Launch. So this started the I'll do anything for a paycheck phase, you know, basically the rom-com pretty boy phase, as you put it. Whereas for Jim,
I was mistaken. I thought the Truman Show was closer to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
No. But for Jim, on the other hand, we are looking at, let me pull it all the way back. All right. So for Jim, we'll start from Ace Ventura. So Ace Ventura is what catapults him into stratosphere. Then, of course, he's got In Living Color going on. He's got The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, Batman Forever, when Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls. Oddly enough, he's got The Cable Guy, which ends, has another message of don't watch TV too much. Then we have Liar Liar in 97, Truman Show in 98. Then he does, I guess, Simon, but then he does Man on the Moon in 99. Then he does Me, Myself, and Irene, The Grinch, The Majestic, Bruce Almighty, Eternal Sunshine in 2004, and then Series of Unfortunate Events, Fun with Dick and Jane, number 23. So now is when he starts bouncing back and forth to doing, like, drama and comedy, drama, comedy, drama, comedy. Because then he does Yes Man, followed by Love You, Philip Morris, followed by apparently a stint in The Office, Mr. Popper's Penguins, incredible Burt Wonderstones, and now his career is starting to be like whatever Jim wants to do, basically. Yeah. And the Truman Show, though, for him was like one of two things. It was kind of a slap in the face for anybody who was a fan of Jim the Comedian, because the trailer for that movie basically played this up as, this is a comedy, this guy doesn't know he's in a reality TV show, laugh your ass off. There aren't any real jokes in the Truman Show. There are a couple amusing parts, but they're more darkly amusing. Like when he does the whole, who are you talking to? That kind of bit. That is a darkly amusing part. But it's not a comedy. It is very much a drama. And then after that, for him to kind of be like, get this reputation with Man in the Moon especially, people were like, where's my silly Jim Carrey? And then nobody really looked at him like, hey, man, this guy's actually fairly good at doing drama, you know?
So his two best dramas are this and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotlight.
Right.
And they're both excellent movies.
Right. So it's like, he does these things. And then the general public.
Besides, of course, The Bad Batch.
Well, that's his greatest role. But pretty much everybody in the middle of the country was like, where's my guy who talks out of his ass and says, all righty then? You know, like, where's that guy? And it's like, okay, the rubes want the slapstick. Anybody else has seen an actual actor here who's trying something different? Whereas Matthew McConaughey didn't try something different until like 20 years or like 10 years after this movie. And even then, you probably got to give him another 5 or 6 actually do a movie where people were like, oh, Matthew McConaughey is actually trying to act. Oh, okay. Yeah. And then season one of True Detective happens and everyone was like, whoa. Oh, Matthew McConaughey might be an actor with an A, like capital A, you know?
That's like, it's like Lincoln Lawyer happens and people are like, that was okay, I guess. And then True Detective happens. They're like, oh, there he is. There he is.
That's the guy. Finally, that's the guy, you know? Like, we have come a long way from Wooderson, you know? But in the movies themselves, you got to obviously give it to Jim because he's playing a role. Ed is just Matthew McConaughey if Woody Harrelson was his actual brother, you know, not his adopted best friend brother that he has become in real life. Like, I mean, it's all Jim. It's all Jim in this case.
For sure. All right. So I don't think there's any way Ed TV can come back to win. I think Truman shows up like 6-1.
Yeah, it's not great. We basically gave the Dennis Hopper win as a courtesy.
All right. So you're in high school. Both these TV shows are on. Which one are you watching?
Ooh. If I'm in, okay, well, I was in high school. TV was on when these movies came out. So if given the option of these being real shows when I was in high school, my ass would be watching Ed TV because the likelihood of seeing like an ass or a boob or something was much greater. Much greater because we do get a topless woman and we do get a almost sex scene that only stops because a cat gets fallen on.
So I grew up during the Jersey Shore phase, which is basically Ed TV. And
it's Meathead TV.
I hated it.
With good reason.
Being in middle school when Jersey Shore came out, like, I did not like the show at all. I never even gave it a chance. But I don't see myself watching The Truman Show either. But as I grew up and kind of understood the implications of The Truman Show, I'd be curious. I'd be watching just waiting for the breakdown, essentially.
If you fast forward to 2024, where at any given point, Ed TV can be happening. It's just I can turn on any channel or any social media and get Ed TV. But the thing is, with The Truman Show, if you were to do The Truman Show today, I would most likely watch it simply for, like you said, the questions. How is this going to go? What's going to happen? But is there someone who's going to crack and tell him that they can't take this anymore? Now, the way that you would have to do The Truman Show today, though, I think would be to have been doing it off camera, not televising it, for about 20 years. And let this world get created. And let Truman's life develop. And then at age 21, you turn on the cameras and we go from there. Because then it becomes a marketing thing. You say, this man has been living in a lie, basically. He's been living in a TV show and not even knowing it for 20 years. Here's what, now we're opening the window to allow you to see it. But the thing is, though, if I'm given the option, if we are saying that these two shows are real, I would almost want to live in the reality, though, that has The Running Man as its competition.
Yeah.
I would absolutely turn into The Running Man like clockwork. And these other two, I'd be like, well, when they're done killing each other on The Running Man, maybe I'll see what Ed's up to. We'll see if I can catch a boob or two. And maybe I'll check in on Truman to see if he's gone completely bug nuts insane yet. Like, I hear this is the episode where he tries to stab his wife.
So I'm going to give a half a point to Ed TV because, like, Ross favored Ed TV, and I don't think I would necessarily watch either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a reality TV show guy. Odds are I would only tune into either the first episode of The Truman Show out of sheer curiosity Or I would wait till EdTV hit that meme moment or something where something went down and I'd catch it on TV or I'd catch it on the internet.
I'm going between if I'd watch The Truman Show out of, like, curiosity or I would boycott The Truman Show because of, you know, human rights.
Yeah, I mean, it's at a certain point when the reality of what's happening in The Truman Show starts to sink in, the novelty of him not knowing he's on a TV show disappears. That becomes a minor part.
Wait, you it's start not thinking, the Joe Schmo show, like where it's just like, oh, we're putting this guy who has an absolutely real life in a weird situation and he doesn't know he's on TV.
Right. And it's not like, and that was the name of the show I was trying to think of, that Spike TV show, it's Joe Schmo show. But the thing is, that wasn't like a, hey, let's just follow this dude's life show. That was a basically a prank show for this guy. And it's, there's something about The Truman Show that it almost couldn't go on for 30 years in our world. Because at some point, someone would have found a way to get it shut down for, like you said, the human rights violations. Like, there's so many privacy issues going on here, like, and ethical issues, all of this stuff, let alone the fact that a television producer and network is holding how many actors hostage under a dome and forcing them to play out the same role over and over again.
Don't they actually have to get, like, vitamin D? Because
that's the thing. No one's ever seen the real sun. No one's ever seen the real moon. There's no real oxygen ever being pumped into this place. There's no fresh air. It's all recirculated dome bullshit. I mean, everything in this show is just produced. Whereas EdTV is just reality TV I wouldn't want to watch. You know, it's, I would be bored almost instantly because I'm not into shit like that. But I do appreciate that one gay couple that they keep cutting to, whose, like, relationship is cured and, like, healed by EdTV. Because they start off kind of fighting, and the one wants to watch, the other one wants nothing to do with it, and they're, like, fighting about it. And then the other one, the one that's against it, kind of gradually gets brought in, and then eventually they're watching it as a couple, like, in bed. It's like, oh, it's nice. Yeah. EdTV brought these people together.
Yeah, that's true.
But now let's flip it and say, is there one that you would rather be involved in? Now, we can't necessarily say that we would want to be Truman because we wouldn't know we were Truman. But let's make it, would we rather be an actor in The Truman Show? And let's say a close actor to Truman, so a major part of his life. Or would we rather be one of Ed's family members?
One of Ed's family members. It's an easy choice.
I think it is, but then again, the question does come up of what are the salaries of the people in Truman's life? Like, what's the incentive to be this person? Like, why is this best friend so hell-bent on gaslighting the shit out of Truman?
I don't think I could morally keep it from, like, I could not be that guy that's, like, gaslighting him into staying.
After 30 years, no. No, it's, at a certain point, you'd be like, I'm sick of this shit, dude. It's over. You know, it's all fake. Here's a camera in my shirt button. There's a camera in the car. Like, it's all here. I'd be pointing everything out. Like, they can't silence me all the time, you know? And all you really got to do is just give him a couple cameras to see first, and they can't erase that. You know, you can't get that seed of doubt out of his mind. But if I'm only doing this for me, if this is like a planned 1 year thing, like a Joe Schmo show kind of thing, like, yeah, I could probably do it. I could probably keep it up for a year, knowing there's an end coming. But if this is an indefinite thing where it's a continuous experiment of let's see how long this can go before this man finds out that his life isn't real, I couldn't do that. After a while, I'd crack and be like, you know what, dude, this is all fucking fake. This is all wrong. And then it's like you find the gun and you kill yourself on TV, you know? Since I'm done, I'm going out like a monk on an Rage Against the Machine album cover, you know?
Yeah.
Light myself on fire in the town square. Fuck this shit. But yeah. And I mean, at least with it being one of Ed's family members, you can pitch your shitty products and, you know, the world will
That's the thing with MTV. You, like, from that notoriety, you can absolutely make a business.
Absolutely. But, all right. So I think I think we can maybe, if anything, give the pity point to EdTV on that one. So at least they get 2 points as opposed to the
2.5.
The flood of Truman Show points. Because, I mean, when we're really looking at it, the Truman Show is just, it's going back. Like, I remember watching it in 98 and not liking it, not thinking it was funny or not thinking it was that good. But then having how many years of reality TV and all this shit, you look at it again in 2024 and you're like, wow, this movie predicted everything. It's all there. But it's also just better made. It's a better made, better acted, more well thought out premise than just shove cameras in a regular dude's face and see what happens. You know, it's like, oh, we do that. You know, that's just life for a lot of people now. So, oh well. But life does move on with movies that are basically similar next week. But before that, so Mike, where can people find us on the internet?
You find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, and just about anywhere else you get your podcasting from. You also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Happy Hour Films Podcast.
All right. So next week, we are going to get into a movie. Two classics, mind you. One legendary, the other almost legendary, but basically the same thing, just an updated version of it. Now, there has been a remake of the updated version of it, but we're going to be doing the OG. We're going to do the original version of it because I can't watch Chris Pratt attempt to be as good as Denzel in anything. So we're going to be doing the 1960 Magnificent Seven with Yul Brynner and Steve McQueen and Charles Bronson and Eli Wallach and Robert Vaughn and all these legendary actors. But we're also going to be talking about the legendary movie of Seven Samurai by Akira Kurosawa. So we're doing both of those next week. So it might be a longer episode just by virtue of the fact that Seven Samurai is like 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
But I think we could probably break it down a little bit. But that's what we're going to do next week. Seven Samurai, Magnificent Seven. And until that time, I have been Ross Bacon.
I've been Mike McGuigan.
I will see you guys next time. So long.